A month of gratefulness. Let's all stand together and I'll read the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words, Lord. And what a wonderful place they found in our hearts. How dear they become, more dear with every passing year. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, for the young person or new Christian that's being introduced to these words for the very first time. Lord, all the way to the veteran saint, Lord, the grizzled veteran that could quote this and understands it and knows it. May we all be ministered through this beautiful psalm this morning. Put in our hearts, Lord, a different attitude. Help us to take a month, dear God, and lay aside the things that prevent us from being as grateful as we ought to be. And may we, Lord, may there not be a day pass in the month of November from today to the end of it where we do not exercise and exhibit, dear God, a thankful heart and a gratitude attitude in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give you some very practical counsel this morning. We're going to teach down through the psalm in introduction, but then from then on, I want to give you some counsel, some wise counsel. I want to give you some good, godly, Bible-centered advice. I'm going to preach on this subject, how to have a gratitude attitude, how to have a gratitude attitude. In our curriculum, our Sunday school curriculum, as we teach down through this, and because many of you have heard this psalm taught and heard this outline many times now as you grew up here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, our Sunday school teachers, of course, have taught it over and over. They're familiar with the outline that we teach. But in verse number 1, we talk about God and what he deserves to hear from his children. And the Bible says this, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." Verse 3, "It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." You know, folks, just because God is who he is, he deserves some things from us. Number 1, God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. Every parent in here can relate to that. We like to hear our children happy. We don't want to hear them bickering and complaining and crying and being negative, discouraging, and full of negativity. We want to hear joyful sounds. I think God ought to hear from us laughter and positive statements and encouraging each other and praising him. All those things God deserves to hear. He deserves to hear joyful sounds. Number 2, God deserves to see his children serving with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Verse number 2. If you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, hey, look up here. Be glad about it. Do it with gladness. I mean that. Shame on us. We have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Pastor gets up and says there's going to be a work day. We spend 6 days grumbling about it, and 1 day trying to avoid it. And if we do show up, we look unhappy. Look like we got weaned on dill pickles because we had to come and put a half day in doing things around. Shame. Listen to me. Shame on us. Shame on us. There's some things God deserves, and God ought to see his children serving with gladness. Number 3, God deserves to hear his children sing his praises. Found that in verse number 2. Come before his presence with singing. I think part of a gathering, according to the word of God, a part of a gathering, part of the assembly of God's people ought to always include some singing praises unto God. I believe you ought to learn to sing. I think you ought to be involved in the singing, congregational singing. Hey, preacher, man, I don't have much of a voice. Well, that brings us back to verse 1. Make a joyful noise, amen, unto the Lord. Just be joyful. By the way, it sounds better to other people than it does to you anyway. How many of you like your own singing voice? Okay, we have a couple. I want to sit near you two next time because, I mean, nobody thinks, it's kind of like your school picture. Have you ever had a school picture where you looked at and went, wow, that man, I look good. And nobody likes their own picture. Nobody cares much for their own voice. But you know what? We make it out to be worse than it is. And you know what we ought to do is just join in with the congregation, sing out. And God deserves to hear children sing his praises. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Heartfelt singing is an outward sign you're filled with the Spirit of God. Colossians 3, 16. Heartfelt singing is an outward sign you're filled with the Word of God. And we teach this to our young people. Number four, last of all, God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude. That's what we're going to preach on this morning, a spirit of gratitude from his children. Verse number four, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The importance of a thankful heart. I think there's two words that you should say many times a day, and that would be thank you. I think there's two words you should pray many times a day, and I think those two words are thank you. I'm not sure because I don't always pray the same things the same way, but I would tell you this. Very seldom do I pray to the Lord where he doesn't hear those two words. You'll hear the preacher open up most services by thanking the Lord for his goodness to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We should say it many times a day. We should pray it many times a day. I want us to give you some good wise counsel. I want to share with you that you can live your life with a spirit of thanksgiving. And I want to ask you to declare, especially for the next month, declare to God, make a promise to the Lord that you're going to do everything in your power to live your life being thankful during the month of November. I think you can cultivate a gratitude attitude. I think some people are unthankful. Look right up here. I'll tell you how they got that way. This will help you parents. I'll tell you how they got that way. They were allowed to be ungrateful when they were children. They were allowed to be ungrateful when they were toddlers. They were allowed to throw a fit. They were allowed to pout. They were allowed to carry on. Some of them are still doing it in their teenage years because they didn't get it out. Listen, for every ounce of that nonsense you get out when they're this big, it's going to prevent a ton of it when they're this big. And so some of them are, some people are just ungrateful. Well, they're just ungrateful. It's not like God created them that way. See, you know, we're all got a sin nature. It's that we didn't get it trained out of us. Let me ask you, come on, this is good for us, just us here today. But do you have a thankful spirit? Are you a thankful person? If someone was to say, hey, give me five or six words that describes brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, would thankfulness be right up near the top of the list? I'll tell you one thing, they've got a thankful spirit about them. If we're not careful, we just get and get and get and get and get and are blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And you know what? Two words never seem to be able to form on our lips. Are you listening to me, young men? Are you listening to me, young ladies? Shame on you if you've got an ungrateful spirit. You say, preacher, I'm going to plead guilty. By the way, wonderful thing when we can be honest with the Lord. I'm not a real thankful person. Well, I'm going to help you this morning because you know what? You can become that. You can cultivate a gratitude attitude. I'm going to give you several things to do in November if you'll do them. Join with me. I'll do them if you'll do them. I'll do them if you won't do them. But I'd encourage you to join in. Number one, revisit your salvation. Revisit your salvation. One of the best things that keeps your heart thankful is just going back to the day you got saved and alive. I think sometime this month, as I was writing out the sermon, I thought, I'm long overdue to do it. Sometime this month, I'm going to jump in the Jeep and I'm going to head up to the northern part of Clay County and I'm going to wander back north of Brazil and find a little church that used to be called the Rock Run Baptist Church. I think I'm overdue to pull into the parking lot and walk around the building and wipe some tears and just clap my hands and sing some of the songs of Zion. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I think every once in a while, whether you can do it physically or whether whether you just need to do it mentally, you need to go back to the place that you got saved the day you got saved. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Folks, listen to me. Nothing will ignite in a Christian the spirit of thankfulness more than revisiting the day that you were saved. Hey, how long has it been since you went back to that day? Been back to that place. I mean, do you understand what happened on that day? The day I got saved, I was forgiven of my sin and given instead the righteousness of Christ. On that day, I was redirected from the fires of hell to the bliss of heaven. On that day, I was rescued from the power of Satan and adopted into the family of God. On that day, I traded in a life of iniquity and confusion for a blessed life of purpose, power, and purity. On that day, I was freed from demonic oppression and given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to comfort me and guide me and direct me and keep me. On that day, I was relieved of guilt and baptized in grace. On that day, I was relieved of worry and immersed in wonder. I was released from the chains of sin and given instead a crown of rejoicing. Folks, I'm just not saved. I'm gloriously saved. I'm eternally saved, and I'm eternally thankful that I am saved. Go back during the month of November. I mean, if you can go back to the place, go back to the place. If you can't, revisit in your mind the day that you got saved, the place that you got saved. It'll help you to have a gratitude attitude. Number two, watch this. Refuse during this month. I wish I could get you to take a pledge. Refuse for 1 month to participate in any negativity. Revisit your salvation. Number one, refuse to participate in negativity. Now, we did this, and I'm going to reenact it. A year ago last fall, we had family camp. And in opening orientation, I passed a rule for the week of family camp. If I had to spend all a week with y'all, then there has to be some rules, okay? All right. We just have to see somebody a few days a week. I can handle that. But if we're going to be together a whole week, we're going to pass some rules. One of them is this, and don't ask me where this came from because I really don't know. Somewhere in the confused maze that is the mind of Jerry Ross, this sprouted out. But I decided that during the entire week, we were going to commission everybody in the camp. And this is what everyone and anyone was allowed to do. If anybody complained about something or said something negative or whined or griped, then the people near them would start yelling out this. What did we yell out?
Turtle!
Turtle! You say, why? I haven't the faintest idea. People say, you know, Pastor Jerry, he doesn't do anything without a purpose. No, sometimes there's no purpose. They're just. Sometimes I don't even know why I'm doing things that I do. So every once in a while, from the far reaches of the camp, you'd hear a little group of people gather, turtle, turtle, turtle. And somebody turn red and look real embarrassed and swear that they weren't complaining. What was disturbing is I tend to whine while I preach sometimes, and people, instead of yelling amen during my preaching, was yelling, turtle, turtle, when I would start whining from the pulpit, you know. So for the month of November, the turtle rule is back. Use it in your family. Use it in your workplace. Scream it at your boss. I mean, whatever. Whatever makes you happy, amen. Folks, What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get some of us to wake up and realize how much that comes out of our mouth is negative. Now stop. You say, preacher, what's wrong about being negative? What's wrong with complaining? Watch this. Complaining is an act of unthankfulness. For every one thing you can complain about, there's 10 things you can rejoice about, but you choose to complain instead of rejoice. For every negative, there's a positive. Come on now, help me out there. For every negative, there's probably 10 positives. And if you are, you know, you have the bloodhound ability to sniff out a negative, but you can't see the positives all around you, shame on you. You need an attitude adjustment. You need to foster, to grow a gratitude attitude. There's a way to be thankful, okay? I tell the story of how I went to visit an elderly lady when I pastored it up in Brazil, Indiana. And I went to visit an elderly lady, and I was sitting there in her living room and talking to her, and she had a bookshelf full of books, and I'm always the guy that anytime there's books, I look at the book titles, so I'm half paying attention, half seeing what she has on her shelf, and there was a book on about the third shelf down, and on the binding of the book, I seen the title of the book, and the book's title was this, Don't Let Jerks Ruin Your Day. What was the title of the book? Now, sometimes I'm too bold, but the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I started laughing, and I pointed at the book, and she said, I don't even know where I got that. Or said this, can I have it? You mean you're trying to talk a poor widow lady out of, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you know, you have not because, I said, I need that book. She said, I've never read it. I don't know where I got it. If you want it, you can have it. I just took it and put it in my office. I never read it, but I just wanted to see the binding of it. Every once in a while, I just need to look and see that. Don't let jerks ruin your day. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know if it's a good book, bad book. I just needed to see the title of it. Can I give you some good godly advice? Number one, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. Come on, somebody need to tape that on your mirror. Don't be a jerk today. A little reminder to yourself. Okay, stop it. All right, stop it. Okay, be nice. If you can be mean, you can be nice. If you can be negative, you can be positive. If you can frown, you can smile. If you can think of something to criticize, you can think of something to compliment. Your brain does both. It does do both. It's just a choice. Don't be a jerk. Number two, don't let jerks ruin your day. Now, not everybody's here today. So not everybody just heard that admonition. So when you go out tomorrow, you're going to run into some jerks. All right, there's jerks where you work. Okay, there's jerks at Walmart. There's a lot of jerks that have driver's licenses. There's a lot of them that have driver's licenses. You know, I don't ask for much, but you listen to my, and I am. I'm not a road rage guy, but, you know, okay, don't yell turtle, but give me a break here, all right? I'm trying to stay positive here, but anytime I talk about driving, man, I just go right down the, wow. If I had one power, and I don't ask for power, I don't want power except for this one power. I want to have the power to make a citizen arrest, pull people over, take their driver's license with a pair of scissors and cut it up in a million pieces and keep them from ever getting a driver's license. That's the only thing I ask. I don't think that's asking a lot. Some people should not have driver's license. They just should not have driver's license. So you're going to run into jerks. Now watch this, folks. Listen, are you listening to me? There's jerks out. Some people just like to be a jerk. Watch this. Don't let jerks ruin your day. Don't let them ruin your day. Now listen, here's the thing you have to learn about miserable people. Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you with something. Miserable people are determined to make other people miserable. You know why they're the way they are? It's because they're miserable. Say, what do they need? They need Jesus. Most of them need Jesus. Most of them just need to get saved. It's amazing. Come on, isn't it amazing how the Lord just kind of changes so many things, so many basic things in your life when you get saved? Most of them just need to get saved. You know, somebody's trying to, you know, it's obviously they're having a horrible day and they want to try to make you have a horrible day too. You know, don't, listen, watch. I don't give anybody that much power in my life. I'm helping some of you right now. Ladies, listen, ladies, you're a little more tender, a little more, you know, constructed on emotion. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you right now. Stop giving people that kind of power in your life. I mean, somebody send you a text and you know what? Unkind, wicked, wrong, nasty, should never. And you know what? You let it run 4 or 5 days of your life. Stop. You just gave that person way more power than they ought to ever have in your life. Somebody's going to say something, do something. You know what? Here's what you got to do. You got to, in your heart, remember that the old timers used to say, what? Consider the source. Okay? God bless. You know what? Maybe they're hurt. Watch this. I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they've been wounded in some way, and you know what? They're lashing out because of it. Maybe they're that way by choice. I don't know. But you know what? I'd much rather smile, whisper a prayer for them, put them in the hands of the Lord, turn the page, and go on with my life, then I would let a jerk run my day. Okay? So stay away from the negativity. Stay away from negative people. Stay away from negative thinking. We call it stinking thinking. We're given this admonition in Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so I'm not going to allow negativity to come into my thinking. I'm not going to feast on it. I'm not going to let it empower me or overtake me. I'm just not. I'm going to choose to think about good things and true things and honest things and just things and pure things and lovely things. I'd rather hear a good report than a bad report. I'm more interested in seeking out virtue and praise. I want to think on these things. So refuse to participate in the negativity. How do you cultivate a gratitude attitude? Revisit your salvation. Number two, refuse to participate in negativity. Number three, rejoice in being an American. Now, hey, watch this. Thanksgiving's not the only holiday this month. We've got Veterans Day coming up. And so I think one of the ways to be thankful and cultivate a gratitude attitude is just Hey, every once in a while, instead of just driving by or ignoring this flag up here, why don't you just stop and contemplate and meditate on it a little bit? I mean, those colors all mean something, folks. And that red ought to remind us that there's a lot of young men and young ladies that left their home, and you know what? They never got to come back. They're buried on some foreign field somewhere, and they did it so that we could have the freedom that we enjoy. I don't have anything to be thankful for. You know what? Shame on any American that ever makes that statement. Yes, you do. You ought to every day get up, and man alive, if you don't have a flag at your house somewhere, I mean this, I'm going to encourage you. I'd like to see Old Glory flying a lot more places than it's flying. It don't cost all that much to go and get a flag and put a little holder up. And you know what? When the weather permits it, put it out there and let people know I'm proud to be an American. You get a chance to walk up to a member of our military and stick your hand out and thank them, or go over to where they're eating at a restaurant and pick up their bill and say, hey, I want to thank you for serving our country. I'm going to take care of this today. Hey, just do that. Just be glad that you're an American. We're going to have available tonight. By the way, Brother Reiser, help me remember this. But I'm going to get a box of our Grace Will Lead Me Home books, and we're going to put them out in the foyer tonight. And I always like, right before these type of holidays, it's the 11th of November, Veterans Day, 11th of November. We'll make them available tonight, Wednesday night, next Sunday all day. But the Grace Will Lead Me Home booklets is a wonderful gift to walk up and give to a veteran. Just stick out your hand and say, thank you for serving our country. Our church wishes to honor you. This is a gift that we give out to veterans, just a gift of appreciation. And by the way, it'll help them in a lot of ways, but it also contains the gospel, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them how to be saved. Folks, what I'm saying is this, man, be thankful. Good night. Young person, you got to be born in the greatest nation in the world. Say, preacher, our country's got problems. It does have problems, but it's got a lot less problems than any other country you can list out there. I mean, folks, listen to me. This country still was founded on Christian principles. And I know there's those that are trying to change the very fabric of our nation, but there's also, for every one of those in grassroots America, a lot of people that still, if you cut them, they'll bleed red, white, and blue, and they understand, you know what? This book was founded in reverence to this book and in reverence to the Creator God. And you know what? You can't find an early government document that all of those that we hold dear without mentioning and extolling and praising the presence and the power of Almighty God. You can't walk around Washington, D.C. I mean, folks, they're going to have to come in and blast out granite to try to remove our Christian heritage, because it's chiseled into every monument the mention of our dependency upon Almighty God. And so, you know what? Just take this month and, preacher, how do I cultivate a thankful spirit? Man, I'm going to tell you what. Just thank God every day that you were born in the United States of America. And so rejoice in being an American. What else will help me to cultivate a gratitude attitude? Number four, recount the great blessings you've received. Recount them. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now, this again is what you decide to think about. Everybody in this room, let me help you with this, and I want you to know I'm not unmoved by it. I'm not discounting the fact that people in this room have genuine heartache. By the way, so is the preacher that stands before you preaching. And if I decide that I'm going to focus in on that and think about that all day long, you know what? I can lose day and a day and a day and a week and a month. But you know what? We also can stop and take a step back and say, you know what? Yeah, sure, there's heartache in life. Man, there's 1,000 blessings for every heartache. And there is. There's 1,000 blessings for every heartache. And so recount the great blessings you've received. Thank God for something that you've never thanked Him for. Thank God for something you've never thanked Him for. Well, I'm not sure what that is. Well, think about it. I guarantee you there's something. Have you ever thanked Him for water? Well, we always thank God for the food. You thank Him for water. Where would we be without water? If we didn't have water, we wouldn't need food very long. Thank you. I mean, I don't care what. Something, everyday thing that we take for granted. I hope that all through the month you touch something and say, you know what? I've never verbally thanked God for this. What a blessing this is. Recount the great blessings you've received throughout your life. I want you this month, go back and look. I mean, all through your life, pick out the 4, 5, 6 biggest blessings of your life and just thank God for them. I think it'd help revive marriages if husbands would go back to their wedding day and remember back to the happiness that you experienced on that day and the blessing that you received when you married your bride. I think it would help revive marriages if wives went back and thanked God for the man that God brought into their life and reclaimed and remember some of the happiness of that day. Remember the delivery room and when God blessed you with children and the miracle of that. Grandparents, you remember when your grandbabies were born, the very first one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and you know what? It never gets old. And you know what? You never have enough. You never seem to have enough. Also, why don't you do this? Recount the biggest blessings of 2013. If we wanted to, we could open up the auditorium for testimonies and say, I want you to tell about the most tragic, heartbreaking thing that happened in 2013. And I promise you, in 15 minutes, we'd all be so depressed. We'd wonder if we wanted to live a 2014. Or we could just say, hey, you know what? Let's share the biggest blessings that you received in this past year. And sometimes we have to it's a mental exercise sometimes to take some of those negative things and set them off to the side and say, you know what? They've dominated my thinking and my memories of an entire year. And the honest truth is, they shouldn't define this year because there's been so many good things. Me and Brother Reiser, probably for 5 minutes this morning, he came and sat in my office and he's kind. He goes up to and gets me a donut every Sunday morning. A donut. You know why? Because donuts put you in a spiritual mood. That's why. Nothing will help you to prepare to preach like a good old Casey's donut. Amen. So he brought it to my office. And he sat down and we just started. And we didn't intend to, but he shared a blessing. Was talking about the youth revival, and then we started talking about other things that have happened. Man, by the end of the 5 minute conversation, we were so excited. And I mean, you know what? It put us in the mood to look forward to wonder what God's going to do today. I could help you have a personal revival right now if you will. Stop having the 5 minute negativity sessions and start having 5 minute praise sessions. Okay, I'm helping some of you right now. Okay, get off of it. Okay, turn the page. Turn the page. Time to move on. There's other things in life. I'm not going to miss out on tomorrow's blessings worrying about yesterday's tragedies. Turn the page. Life's exciting. God's got something new. 2014, folks, I want to tell you about it so bad. There's so many things that I'm anticipating that God's going to do in our midst in 2014. I can't hardly stand it. So recount the great blessings you've received. Number five, remind someone of how much they mean to you. This is good counsel, godly counsel. Revisit your salvation. Refuse to participate in negativity. Rejoice in being an American. Recount the great blessings you've received. Number five, remind someone of how much they mean to you. 10 lepers came to Jesus. 10 of them came. He healed them all. They all went away rejoicing. They were excited. Some would say they were thankful. One of them turned around, came back and fell at the feet of Jesus. Jesus asked this question. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Can I say you this, folks? 9 out of 10 people tend to be unthankful, more unthankful than they are thankful. Were these men thankful? Some might argue they would. How could you have leprosy and not be thankful? How could you have leprosy and be healed of it, and not be thankful? Say, preacher, they must have been thankful in their heart. I want to teach you something if you'll listen to me. Maybe they were thankful in their heart. But Jesus had this viewpoint. Unexpressed thankfulness is considered by God to be unthankfulness. Unexpressed thankfulness is considered by God to be unthankfulness. So maybe they were thankful in their heart, but because they didn't say it, God counted it as unthankfulness. You know what? Gentlemen, let me help you with this. That's how your wife is too. She's made in the image of God. Well, she knows I appreciate her. Have you told her? Well, no. Well, unexpressed thankfulness is viewed as unthankfulness. My kids know how much they mean to me. Have you told them? Unexpressed thankfulness is considered by children to be unthankfulness. Well, mom and dad knows how much I appreciate what they sacrifice. Have you said it to them? Grandma and grandpa knows how much I love. Have you wrote him a note lately? Okay. How about the person that led you to Christ? How about the person that was influential in getting you to Christ? Maybe they didn't lead you to Christ, but you know what? They prayed you there. How about that? Hey, can I share something with you? Watch this. People aren't always going to be here so that you can go to their house, look them in the eye, and say thank you. Thank you whispered at a coffin surely doesn't mean as much as thank you whispered at a dining room table. Say thank you while you got a chance to say thank you. Okay, remind someone how much they mean to you. Say thank you. Write a thank you note. Send a thank you text or email. Hey, we're cutting edge here now. Spend this month expressing your thankfulness to those who have invested in your life. Remind someone of how much they mean to you. Let me give you the last one. Number one, revisit your salvation. Number two, refuse to participate in negativity. Number three, rejoice in being an American. Number four, recount the great blessings you've received. Number five, remind someone of how much they mean to you. Number six, rededicate your life to God. The greatest act of thankfulness to God is a life lived in service to Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's not just celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Let's celebrate a Thanksgiving month. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to have this time to open the Scriptures. Read the 100th Psalm, just the reading of it, what it does, Lord, to our hearts, how it ministers to our spirit, God. Help us, Lord, to glean from it the truths that are there for us to receive. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would just determine in our hearts, with your help, please. Dear God, that we would determine in our hearts that we're going to take the month of November and we're going to cultivate the right type of an attitude, a gratitude attitude, that we're going to have a spirit of thankfulness, that we're going to create in our homes a spirit of thankfulness. We're going to do some training with our children and our teenagers in this matter of cultivating a spirit of thankfulness. Lord, help us. I pray, dear God, as we mentioned at the beginning, that a Father in heaven who deserves to hear these things from their children will hear joyful noises, will see us serve with gladness, will hear us sing His praises, and will see and hear many times a day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to take this month and change, with your help, please, change who we are.